Welcome to the Big Three podcast. This podcast answers three big questions raised from Sunday's sermon by the congregation of Guymere Baptist. The Big Three Pod seeks to discuss these questions, explore issues, unpack theology, provide further information and explanation to help your faith grow. You can listen to the original sermon on your favourite podcast platform or at guymerebaptist.org.au. Our prayer is that this pod helps you as you follow Jesus.
Well, welcome back to the Big Three. I say welcome back because it's been a few weeks since we have recorded the podcast. My name is Mark Rader. I'm the senior pastor here at Guymere Baptist Church and your host for the next half hour. I had a bit of a break a few weeks ago, and then we had a sermon series that didn't really work as well, I suppose, with the Big Three. We had some of our lay preachers and some of our developing preachers speaking over the school holidays. But I'm back. And we're back, and on Sunday we began a new series on the Sabbath. This is linked to some of our strategic priorities as a church, in particular considering a couple of spiritual practices that really align with what we believe our purpose is as a community of faith, prayer being one of them, and now Sabbath. And this is kind of just the very start of exploring what that means for us. And I think it's going to be a particularly challenging and engaging series for us as we explore what it means for us to learn to rest with Jesus. So on Sunday... I began that series by looking essentially at how Sabbath, or the foundations for Sabbath, are found in the very beginning, in creation. On the seventh day, God rested. And while the term Sabbath is not used there, it says that God rested. It doesn't say that he declared the Sabbath or that he kept the Sabbath. But as we'll see in the Sunday to come, when we look at the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath and to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy is based on God's rest in creation. So we started there, and there's a whole bunch of questions that came out of that sermon, which is great. I was quite hopeful that there'd be a lot of questions, because I think this is, as I said, it's going to be a real challenge for us. We tend not to have very many, we don't have the social boundaries anymore on enforcing rest, you know, like 30 years ago or wherever it was. Many shops were shut on Sundays. There wasn't sport on Sundays. And so there was kind of a social boundary of rest. And now we live in a 24/7 world. And so it becomes particularly challenging for us to find ways to rest. But the questions that we're going to be grappling with today are these. First of all, did God plan for an eighth day back to the start of the cycle of work, or would he have rested or ceased work forever? And is the cycle of work a result of the fall? So it's kind of a two-part question, which is a great question for us to grapple with. The second one is, what is God inviting us to on the Sabbath? And the third question is, what is the difference between the Sabbath and a day off? So good questions for us to begin. I feel like I need to start with a bit of a disclaimer. I said to a few people on Sunday, after the service, that there's always a bit of a gap when you're preaching, right? There's always a bit of a sense for me that I'm asking and encouraging the congregation to do what I say, not what I do, right? Like I recognize so often the gap between the ideals that I'm proclaiming from Scripture and in my own life. But with Sabbath, it feels a particularly large gap. I have not practiced Sabbath before. I, as I said on Sunday, I'm pretty good at keeping a day off, but I don't believe that I've kept the Sabbath. And so this series is as much for me as it is for our congregation. And I feel that I'm starting at the same spot as everyone else is. So it's the answers that I'm going to offer over the weeks of the Big Three in particular. I'm going to do my best, but there are some pretty good resources out there that you can probably begin to turn to as well. So I feel like I just need to say that. Maybe I don't, but I did. So let's get into these questions and explore what it means for us to be thinking about and practicing the Sabbath. So the first question is related quite strongly to the day of rest in the creation accounts. And so the question is, did God plan for an eighth day? So back to the start of the work week, shall we say, or would he have rested forever? Is the cycle of work a result of the fall? And this is it's a really good place for us to start, in part because at the start of the year, we did a series on vocation. I think we called it Good Job, and focused on what it means for us to be people who have integrated or integrating our faith in Jesus into our vocation, whether that be paid work, part-time or full-time, whether it be you know, caring for family, whether that's young children or elderly parents or others, whatever our vocation might be in retirement and study and whatnot, how do we integrate those things together? And one of the things that we started with in that series was to remind ourselves that work was not a consequence of the fall. And that comes from reading the first two tablets of creation together, right? When I talk about the tablets of creation, I'm just talking about the two different tellings of the creation account. The account in Genesis chapter 1 that kind of leaks into chapter 2, the first three verses, and then the second tablet in chapters 2 and 3, which outlines in more specific detail, you know, the creation of Adam and then the subsequent creation of Eve and their placement in the garden and the serpent and the fall, right? All that kind of stuff. And in both instances, you have a clear sense that while God rests on the seventh day, that there was a plan for the eighth day. There was a day, there was a plan for work to begin. And that's found in the vocation that is given to humanity. So in Genesis chapter 1, humanity are given the task to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it, to have dominion over the created order, and to have a dominion like that of God. In the second tablet of creation, where the creation of Adam and Eve is a lot more specific and really kind of, I don't know, ground level rather than the 30,000 foot level of Genesis chapter 1, we're told that Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to keep it and to work it, right? They were there to expand and to maintain the garden. And as they were fruitful and multiplied, you would imagine that the garden would have expanded. And that as the garden expanded, as God's order and as his rule and dominion expressed through his image bearers continued to expand, eventually the whole world would have been filled with his glory, filled with his presence. And I think that there's something quite significant about, and this takes us back to that series on work and vocation. There's something quite significant about the fact that the Garden of Eden has some fairly close similarities to the temple. There's a sense that as the garden expanded, it would have filled the whole earth and that the presence of God would have been everywhere. I think that's the work that was given to humanity. And so I believe that God did plan for an eighth day, that there was going to be a work week, that there was a task that had been given to humanity, a purpose that had been given to humanity, that they were to fulfill, but not on the first day. The first day of human history, as I said on Sunday, one of the authors that I read made note of this. The first day of human history after being created on late in the afternoon on day six was actually a day of rest. So I do believe that that God had that plan in mind, and that the what we might call the work week or the pattern, that might be a better way to talk about it, the pattern or rhythm of 6 days to work and one day to rest, was part of God's plan from the very get-go. That there was this real sense that there was to be purposeful, meaningful, significant work to be done, and then they were to rest. That was part of the what it meant to be image bearers in the garden. So I think that that's the case. Now, some of you might be asking, it seems like a strange question to suggest that God might have rested forever. And there is, and I'm not particularly familiar with it, but there are a couple of suggestions that God continues to work, but that he also continues to rest. Like there's this kind of ongoing rest that he invites us into. And I think over the weeks of this series, we might kind of bump into that again. I'll try to keep that in the back of my head as I'm preparing and see if I can't remember where or stumble upon it again and make some observations about that as we go. But I think that all leads nicely into our second question about what God has invited us into in the Sabbath. So if God rests on the seventh day and had planned for the work rest rhythm from the very beginning, humanity was to enter into that on, I guess, what we might call, you know, if we're talking from a Christian Sabbath, in the sense of the day of the resurrection, you know, the kind of the Monday thing again. Then what is it that God is inviting us into? I guess this comes back to almost the purpose of Sabbath. And we're going to be exploring some of this again in the weeks to come. But I think it's worth just pausing, because it's related to the third question as well, about the difference between a Sabbath and a day off. But I think what God has invited us into is more than just rest, right? There's kind of, I wouldn't say layers, but there's aspects to that rest that I think are important. So one of the things that I mentioned on Sunday is that the author that I was reflecting on, who said that the first day of human history was a day of rest, that our work, that our purpose, that the command of God, the creation mandate, right, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, that was a command or a mandate or a purpose that was given in the context of grace. So, I mean, there was nothing that humanity had done to deserve the created order as it was given to them, all the provision that God had given to them. And yet they were not called to earn a day of rest. They weren't called to work 6 days and then get a rest. They rested first. I think there's something profound about that cycle, that our work, our vocation, the things that God is calling us and inviting us into starts by resting with God. And I think, you know, we don't get a lot of detail in the creation accounts, but there's a sense that the creation and humanity in particular, with nothing to do but rest, were to delight in what God had created, right? And to delight in God himself. And I think that's part of what the Sabbath is meant to do. Again, in the reading that I've been doing, that seems to come up quite significantly, that there's meant to be this kind of resting in God. And I think one of the other pieces, and I think this is perhaps related more to us today than it necessarily was to in the creation accounts, is that we are invited to a posture of trust, right? That our work can wait, right? Like if you think about it, you know, God creates humanity and gives to them this grand purpose, and it's a mandate from God himself. That sounds like the sort of thing that you'd want to get to work at right away, and yet God gives this mandate and then says, "We're going to rest tomorrow." So there's this sense of trusting that the work can wait. The work can wait. But also there's a sense that we can trust that even if we don't get all the work done, even, you know, because that task of, you know, subduing and filling and subduing the world, that's not going to be done in a day, that even if that task is unfinished, that we can still rest and that we are still called to rest, because that's the rhythm of the world. We're called to trust that God will look after things. That the world will kind of look after itself, as we're going to see this week in particular. The first reference to Sabbath is actually in Exodus chapter 16, which is before the commandments are given. And the Sabbath reference is in relationship to the provision of manna, the bread from heaven that rained down 6 days a week but did not come on the Sabbath. And the people of Israel were to collect enough for each day They weren't to keep any extra. If they did, it would rot and be filled with maggots by the next day, except the day before the Sabbath, they were to collect twice as much, and that would keep on the Sabbath, and they had enough for both days. So there's this real backstory there of trusting in God's provision, in his daily provision. There's this an inability or a posture that says you should not hoard things. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will provide. And I think that's in particular a pretty important invitation for us. You know, where I think so much of our activity is driven by worry and anxiety. And so the invitation to, on a weekly basis, stop and trust that God has got this, that God will provide, I think is a really significant part of the invitation. So there is an invitation to rest, right? That physical rest. There's an invitation to delight in God and his creation. There is an invitation to trust him in his provision and to trust in his plan, right? The fact that God would say, just rest, like it's okay. Like I've given you this incredible task, but rest first, I think this is remarkable. I think we are invited to consider what it means to work from a posture of rest and trust rather than working towards rest. I think that's pretty profound. And I think the other invitation of Sabbath is the invitation to invite others to rest, or to encourage others to rest, or to help others rest. I'm not sure exactly how to put it. And again, this is something that we will talk about in the weeks to come. It's a pretty strong theme in the books that I've read on Sabbath, that Sabbath by virtue of, just by its own virtue, is meant to be extended to others. There's a real sense that if we were to observe Sabbath, it would have implications for society. And some of that is built into the creation ordinance. We'll see it more clearly in the commandments as we'll look at this week. But there's a real sense in even in the creation account that because God rests, and humanity are then called to rest, then that means that kind of everything gets to rest. It's kind of built in that everyone should be able to rest, that everything should be able to rest. And we'll pick that up in weeks to come. So I think that there's an invitation for us to consider others on the Sabbath as well, in terms of how we rest together. And again, I said on Sunday that the series is going to be a little thin on how-tos in terms of explicit application, in part because I'm not exactly certain what I would say. But also, secondly, I think it's something that we need to explore once, as I said on Sunday, once the soil of our hearts is kind of broken up a little bit by the Holy Spirit, that we are prepared as a people of faith, as a community of faith, to go, yes, we are going to do this. We're going to step into the rest that God is inviting us into. But I think understanding the rest, understanding what we're invited into, is a really great place to start. Before we get to the how do we do that. and there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, I think it encourages us to think about what the Sabbath offers us. And I think that, the more compelling, I think it's quite compelling and attractive to think about resting in God and to trust God, right? That there's some, that's really quite compelling. And once we are compelled, then I think we are probably motivated to kind of figure it out a little bit more. But I also think it's helpful for us to remember the aims of the Sabbath, because the aims of the Sabbath will also determine the sorts of practices that we do. If the aim is to invite others into rest, well, then our Sabbath practices probably need to reflect that. If our aim is to have a posture of trusting God, then our Sabbath practices probably need to do something that will help or lead to that outcome. And again, I don't want to jump to answers quite yet, but I think it's a great place to start. So a great question for us, and it leads into our third and final question for today. So the last question does get a little bit more specific, a little bit closer to the ground in terms of what things might actually look like. And it's this question, what is the difference between the Sabbath and a day off? And I suspect that the answer to that is that there's some sort of a Venn diagram, right? There's, you know, the two overlapping circles. You have the circle on the left, which is the day off, and you have the circle on the right, which is the Sabbath. And they are not totally different in my mind. Now, I reserve the right to change my mind as I uncover more about the Sabbath, but they don't seem to be completely different to me, but I don't think they're exactly the same, that there is a difference between them. One of the authors, and I'd name him, but I can't remember which author it was who kind of made this statement. He was pretty, you know, he wasn't down on them, but he talked about vacations. And he made a couple of points. He said, first of all, we don't even vacation particularly well. So he kind of called that out. But he also said that a vacation is not the Sabbath either. And some of his rationale for that is related to the purpose, right? So I think often for us, like a day off is not about necessarily trusting God. It's not about inviting others into that rest. It's not about necessarily delighting in God or his creation. It's not about reminding ourselves that our lives are based on grace, right? Like it's not about that. It's generally about needing a bit of a break, right? I just need a break. And it's related for us, I think, in terms of our current language around self-care, you know, and looking after yourself. And those are good things, right? Like that's not a bad thing to do. I think there's wisdom in, you know, making sure we have enough rest and enough sleep and enough exercise and a balanced diet and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the difference between a day off and the Sabbath lies in the desired outcomes. A day off, generally speaking, and you know, this is might be good for me to reflect a little bit of my own practice. So for years, I have had Thursdays as a day off. Being in ministry, obviously Sunday's not a great day to choose to have a day off. So Thursdays has been my day off. And while I have occasionally done things on a Thursday, right? You know, I've been to a conference and it runs from Tuesday to Thursday, or I've had a particularly big week and I've needed to put in a few hours work on a Thursday morning. I would say that probably, I don't know, 99% of the time, I'm able to kind of leave work behind and just have a day off. And as I said on Sunday, I think I'm pretty reasonable at taking the day off, right? Of observing that and making sure that I have a day where I'm not really doing work. But having said that, I don't believe, as I've been reading and reflecting on Sabbath practices, I don't believe that I have ever really treated my day off as a Sabbath. I've seen it as a part of self-care. I've seen it as part of, you know, I mean, I talk badly. I don't think balance is, balance should never be our total aim, but you know, it's a good balance. It was an opportunity to rest, you know, those sorts of things, but I've never really filled it with the meaning that Sabbath has. And I think that fundamentally is the difference. You know, I'll do things that are different to my work, but on a Thursday, like it's not unusual that I would do some house chores. That's the sort of a task that is generally not done on the Sabbath. You know, I would do things around the house if I needed to, or I'd run errands or whatever the case might be. And that wasn't unrestful for me, but it was just kind of part of what that day off was all about. And Sabbath kind of functions differently. And that difference is I think where the Venn diagrams need to kind of be more separate. I think in my practice, I only have one circle. It would be how I would put it. I have one circle. It's just the day off circle. And I think, you know, Sabbath has always sat kind of outside of that as some kind of practice that I was not at all really familiar with. I had no idea how I would implement it in my life, and had, to be quite frank, no real motivation to do so or to work it out. I don't believe that I've ever substituted my day off for the Sabbath, you know, and tried to convince myself that, yep, I'm keeping the fourth commandment, when in reality I wasn't. It's been a pretty confronting series even to begin, just as I think about that. But ultimately, I think it's the outcomes piece of what God has invited us into in the Sabbath, as opposed to what a day off brings. Now, in the reading that I've been doing, it does seem that for those who practice Sabbath, there is an element, of course, of a day off, right? It's a day off from work or from study. It's a day when they do things that are a little bit different. It's a day that they rest. And so there is some physical rest in that, that kind of overlaps a little bit with what a day off is about. But ultimately, I think it's its purpose. So I hope that that's been helpful, just to be thinking a little bit about Sabbath. As I said at the outset, this is a series where I do feel that God's leading us to consider Sabbath. I think it's what we need, even if it's not necessarily what we want. It's what we need, a place to rest before we turn to work. I think a posture of greater trust, of intentionality and margin built into our lives, and a spiritual discipline to kind of ground that all. So I hope it's helpful for you as you continue to think this through. The time will come, as I said on Sunday, for us to consider the how-tos, for us to consider some of the practicalities of how we might practice Sabbath as a community of faith more consistently. But right now, my hope and prayer is that God is breaking up the heart, the soil of our hearts, so that there's some good soil that's prepared for some spiritual practices to be planted and really flourish for us, both as individuals and as a community of faith. So thank you to those of you who submitted questions. Really helpful for me to continue thinking that through. Looking forward to Sunday when we look at Sabbath as the fourth commandment and what that means for us and how that shapes our understanding of Sabbath as well. And continuing to be encouraged by some of the little conversations I'm having with people on the side about this as well. So until next time, God bless, and hopefully we'll see you on Sunday on site or online, and then next week again for the Big Three. See ya.
Thanks for joining us at the GBC Big Three podcast. We trust you found this inspiring, encouraging, challenging, but ultimately helpful to enable you to follow Jesus. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can also listen to the We Are the Church podcast, a discussion pod with real stories from real people at Guymere Baptist as they share their experiences of faith and discipleship in action. If you've enjoyed this pod, why don't you rate and review it? This way others can discover the podcast too.